Thanks, everybody, for turning in, checking out the Sure Thing today. It is October 18th. Warren and Ryan here with you today. We'll take a look at the football weekend. The NBA starts up tomorrow, so we'll take a look at that and a bunch of other stuff. Big news in the golf world this weekend. We have to touch on that as well. You can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and under the podcast section on the iHeartRadio app. Ryan, how's it going out there?
It's going good, man. Good weekend this weekend. Just a little bit of baseball on Saturday. Took the family to the fair and then just kind of hung out yesterday all day and just watched football and baseball. So it was good.
How was the fair?
A madhouse. An absolute madhouse. It was an experience to say the least. We kind of knew going, you know, the last weekend that it would be, you know, a little crazy, but I don't think we were prepared for what it was. But nonetheless, I think my kid had a good time. He enjoyed it. He was just kind of taking in all the sights. He had some cotton candy, had some, you know, some goodies, whatever. So, all in all, not terrible, but Jamie and I were talking, we're probably going to be out on it for the next couple of years. Like we did it, you know, whatever, maybe next time we just go to the zoo or something.
Or you go on not the last Saturday before it closes.
Correct. Yeah, that was the other conversation we had. Maybe we go like on a Wednesday afternoon or something, or a Thursday morning when not everybody and their mother wants to go.
Yeah. Well, it looked like last Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day, whatever it's called, that day when everybody was off, that looked like an absolute disaster at the fair too if people were there. Last Monday when everybody was there, that seemed like an absolute disaster of a day as well. Do you watch Succession?
I don't. No, that's okay, one that we have not watched. Yeah,
I didn't think so. All right, well, the new season got underway last night. So I
saw that.
Things are off to a rip-roaring start in episode one so far. But that is a good the Succession is now turning into, so this is season three. It's turning into I was watching from episode, I got caught in on the first season, probably like four episodes in, and it was pretty, it was like, oh, this is good to watch it. Now it's turning into like one of the shows of like, oh my God, it's unbelievable. Back then it was like, oh yeah, it's a good show, you should check it out. And now it's just like, everybody loves it. They're like, why don't you watch Succession? It's turning into
like Game of Thrones was.
Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, like all those type of shows. It's like, oh my God, you don't watch it? Like, or if someone says, oh, like one of my caddy friends was like, I don't like Succession at all. And I was like, dude, why don't you like it? Like, what is that? What's there not to like about it? He goes, it's just not my thing. I'm like, all right, well, you got bad taste. Now it's turning into like one of those shows.
Yeah.
But it is very, I find it highly enjoyable. So if you want to check it out, there's a lot of stuff to,
What's it on?
It's on HBO.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's on HBO. It's only 10 episodes a season. So things aren't out of hand, but it's like the hour long episode. So
yeah.
That's where things go for that. All right. Into the football. We go. Where do you want to start? In college or in the NFL?
I think we got to start with the Cowboys and the Patriots.
I would agree. I would agree that that game, as we talked about on Thursday, I thought the Cowboys would roll pretty easily and cover the 3.5, even though that it was like the rattiest of lines. If you look at the box score, the Cowboys should have won by two touchdowns, at least, I would think. They put up 500 and let me get it right here. They put up 567 yards of offense. They had 32 first downs. They ran 82 plays to the Patriots 50 plays. The only thing that the red zone attempt sticks out, they were 2 of 5 in the red zone, and really they got hosed out of a touchdown on the third down sneak by Dak. And then the fourth down, they made the right call when he fumbled it. And then, so you want to know, how is this game close? How is this game going to overtime? It's the red zone, 2 of 5 in the red zone. And then the penalties. 12 penalties for 115 yards. And it almost killed him at the end of the game, too, when Connor McGovern, or Connor Williams, excuse me, Connor Williams just had the unnecessary roughness at the end that lost it down and the 15 yards almost killed him. But those are the two things. And then, look, turnovers, Dak threw one, but Mac Jones threw one, and they both lost a fumble. So turnovers were a wash. But, like, time of possession, they had the ball for 40 minutes nearly. Like, everything about, if you just look at the stats, that this game should have been a blowout as we thought.
Yeah, 100%. And the fact that even in the first half, I know things weren't really rolling for the Cowboys. You still thought that they were, you know, should have been in a better position going in than being down by, what was it, 14-10 at halftime. So, yeah. You know, like you said, the turnovers were kind of a wash. You could say, oh, that the Dak fumble really hurt them. They're right at the goal line, ready to score. And he loses it. Well, obviously, Mac Jones throws a pick six late in the game. So those kind of, like you said, kind of cancel each other out. So it was shocking that, because it seemed like every big play or every throw that Dak wanted to make, he was getting. You know, he was getting some pressure on him. But it wasn't like he was having to force a lot of throws or, you know, anything of that sort where, like, they were really up in his grill. I mean, he's 36 for 51. That's a pretty decent day passing. That's a 70% completion percentage. So, yeah, it was kind of shocking. Like I said, if you just take it clearly by looking at the box score, you think it is a blowout. And when you watch the game, it, you know, they probably should have won by at least double digits as well. Because, like I said, they were getting every big play they wanted. The running game wasn't what it has been the last few weeks, but it still wasn't bad by any means. You know, obviously, you want to be able to punch in a couple of those scores when you are close using the ground game. They weren't able to do that. But, you know, they're able to sneak out this win. They were able to do it, you know, kind of in I don't know if you want to call it in Cowboy fashion, but they did it in some kind of way that you don't see every day.
Well, it's the fashion they're pulling off wins this year or whatever so far. But I still don't get why they don't even just take the review on third down there. Because that was under 2 minutes, the booth. Why do you not just take a look if you can see, even if the camera angle isn't great, it looked like Dak got in clearly.
Yeah.
I don't get why they just say, hey, let's just take a look. Maybe we could piece things together. And why the touchdown was there. You know, the Patriots are now 0-4 at home this year.
Yeah, it's brutal.
2-0 on the road, 0-4 at home. And they are bad. Like, I was talking to some friends.
Look, they absolutely need weapons on the offense. They need a wide receiver. I like Damien Harris. He's got something to him. He runs pretty well. But they just don't have any wide receivers. I know they were talking about Jacoby Myers, how they're like, oh, he just doesn't drop anything. Well, guess what? The guy doesn't get open a whole lot either. Like, he's, you know, he did have a drop soon after they said that. It's like I said, they have some, like Kendrick Bourne, he was very good, like third or fourth option for San Francisco. Nelson Aguilar, he just, you know, for a wide receiver, just can't seem to catch the ball. You thought they were going to be able to do something with Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. Those guys really haven't come along a whole lot. Hunter Henry's got a couple touchdowns to his name this season, but they just have zero offensive weapons. And you give Mac just maybe one guy, and I think they're able to perform a lot better offensively.
Yeah, maybe. I'm still not sold on him. And I would also like to say, too, that the defense gave up 570 yards yesterday, and they got all these guys back from opt-outs and everything. And I was telling people, I'm like, the Cowboys team totals like 27 points. Like, how do you not, like, they if they don't screw around, they should easily score 27 points against the Patriots. Like, they are moving the ball at will against anybody. Like, the best defense they played was the Bucs. That was game one. They moved the ball pretty much at will, except on the ground against them through the air. And they're like, oh, Bill's going to cook something up on the defensive end. The defense is just not good. Like, the defense is not good, or it's just that the Cowboys often just so damn good, and I think it's the latter, that it doesn't matter what you're doing. You ain't going to stop the Cowboys unless you're getting a lot of turnovers or you got personnel out there. Like, you're just not going to stop them, especially with how well Dak is playing right now. Like they just can do whatever they want on the offensive side of the ball.
They can. And, you know, you look at, you know, their assumed number one in Amari Cooper really doesn't have a big game, 5 catches, 55 yards, but they just spread the ball around so much. I mean, what is it? It looks like 8 or 9 different guys caught a pass. And so, like you said, they are really able to do what they want when they want because they have so many options to move the ball. And you're right. The defense just hasn't been any good for the Patriots. You know, Matthew Judon was supposed to be one of the big guys coming back. Hasn't really
done a
whole
lot.
He's got
a bunch of sacks, though.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as he does have a lot of sacks, you're right. You know, he's doing a good job from that linebacker position. But as far as the secondary goes, Devin McCourty's kind of taken a couple steps back since his prime years. Obviously, they trade away Stephon Gilmore, who has been on the PUP list. But I mean, that's a guy you're talking about, an all-pro linebacker. Kyle Van Noy comes back. Jamie Collins is back. So they're trying to kind of get the band back together. And those guys, while they are, you know, fairly new back into it, so, you know, you still got to work yourself back into shape. Just haven't done anything. You know, Deontay Hightower, he hasn't done much either. So it's just, you know, they have a lot of names that you recognize, like, oh, yeah, these guys should be good. And they just aren't living up to the hype at all.
Well, they play the Jets at home this week, so that will be the ultimate of if they can get a win at home.
Right game.
Yeah. Who is going to make the mistake of hiring Steve Belichick for a head coach or as a head coach? Because you know it's coming, and the TV cameras are playing into it as they all look as a big third down when the defense just gets shredded right after that. He's got the facial expressions going on. He's milking it for the camera. The camera's milking it for him to get a job. Like, who's going to make that mistake?
Hot take. I don't think a Belichick coordinator gets hired until after he retires.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay, well, when's he going to retire, do you think?
I have no, may have, shoot. A couple more years of this, probably a lot sooner than he planned.
Yeah, but then that's an indictment on him as a coach.
No doubt, no doubt.
Every right loss, as I said, every loss just makes him look like not a bad coach, but it takes him down a notch.
I think it's more so his talent evaluation. Because
yes.
all the
well, that's
time
also what I said, too.
Right. It was, oh, look at what they're getting it done with or how they're getting it done.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had the best quarterback, you know, arguably to ever play. And then, you know, you have your best year when you have a true number one with Randy Moss. You know, you have a couple guys that burst onto the scene in Wes Welker and Julian Edelman that came out of nowhere. I mean, Wes Welker went on to have a decent career with the Broncos until he got injured. Julian Edelman was just good. So, you know, a couple of these guys that, you know, there's stories of guys in the NFL that we hear break in and, you know, make a big splash. They're either undrafted or late round draft picks all the time. You're around for 20 years. You're probably going to get your hand on a couple of those. So, you know, but, you know, trying to bring over Nelson Agholor, like I said, and a couple of these guys where they've kind of tried to take bargain picks or bargain contracts, it's just not going to get done with a rookie quarterback. And I think Mac Jones is good. I think he's going to have a long, illustrious career. I don't know if he ever wins a Super Bowl, but I think he's going to be a very talented quarterback for a long time. But he 100% needs weapons around him. I mean, look at just like Joe Burrow. Obviously, he gets injured last year, but now you add Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins in the mix. Obviously, T. Higgins was there last year, but now he's thriving a little bit more. You know, young quarterbacks need weapons. That's what they need. They need veterans. And they need weapons to be able to kind of help them along the way. And until the Patriots get that, you know, they're this is probably going to be as good as they are. And I know Nelson Agholor is a veteran, but again, not a proven veteran, not a guy that's got it done time in and time again. You need like a bona fide weapon and dudes that can go out and make big plays for you. And the Patriots, they just don't have that right now.
Well, not even young quarterbacks. Any quarterback needs a weapon, needs weapons out there to do.
Oh,
well.
Yeah, for sure. Like, but like, you know what I mean? Like, especially.
Well, Tom Brady, Belichick is still in the Tom Brady mindset of, oh, whatever D-list receiver I could get, the one when you're in fantasy football of like, oh, do I really want to pick him up this week on the waiver wire? Is he going to do something? That's what Belichick's thinking he could do with anybody at receiver, but that Tom Brady made it work, but it ain't going to work with anybody else. There is one thing, though, on the defensive side of the ball that the Cowboys, I think that this game showed a little bit something that they might need to be worrisome about, and I would say that would be the rush defense. So far, the rush defense has been pretty solid, or not really solid, it's just been a question mark. They've also been up pretty big in a bunch of games, so the teams haven't been running the ball. This time now, if Damian Harris has the best game of the season, rushes over for 100 yards, they average the Patriots about 4.5 yards a carry. We all know how bad the Cowboys' rush defense was last year. They were just getting gashed all the time. Like, next week against the Vikings, when they have to face Dalvin Cook and even Madison, that will be like another huge test, a big, big test of the rushing attack. But I think we saw that there could be a weakness on the that part of the defense there.
Yeah, I mean, we've said this time and time again, you know, they just needed to be slightly above average for defense for this team to be good. And they've proven to be much more than slightly above average, I would say. You know, obviously all the turnovers that Trevon Diggs is generating, you know, pick sixes, the pass breakups, whatever it may be, you know, that's, I think you 100% got to put a lot of the, you know, give a lot of the credit to Dan Quinn and what he's done with his defense. Yeah, he wasn't a great head coach. Granted, he did make it to Super Bowl, but we saw what he did in Seattle. We saw how he's done a complete 180 with his defense here in Dallas. And I think you got to tip your hat to him and you know, say, hey, this guy might be one of the better D coordinators we have in the league. Because, I mean, that defense was atrocious last year. It was, like, historically bad. And now he comes in and they're, you know, quite the opposite.
Yeah, but they also did spend a lot of – they did get a lot of they spent money in free agency and they did use their top 12 pick on the defensive side of the ball too. So they said, hey, we are going to get better players and stuff. So the defense isn't that bad. Like they spent Micah, they got Micah Parsons,
but they also lost some of their better guys too, that you would have, you know, thought they might've been kept. Who was the safety they lost from last year? Who was the safety they had last year that was pretty decent? They ended up letting him go.
I don't know.
I thought there was a couple secondary guys that was like, okay, this guy might stick around, this guy might stick around. They wasn't too bad, and then they let him go.
Well, Byron Jones left 2 years ago.
2 years maybe ago. No, I know that. No. I know he went to Miami 2 years ago. Maybe I'm pretty sure. I don't remember off the top of my head. I can do a little research.
I'm looking it up right now.
But obviously, you know, like you said, bringing in Malik Hooker, that was a big add for them. Obviously, Micah Parsons, it looks like you get one of the better defensive prospects we've seen in the last 5 years or so with Micah Parsons, who falls to you, which you know weren't really expecting. Granted, it looked like they might have been going to that defensive side of the ball anyway, whether they were able to get, you know, Patrick Surtain or the fellow that Carolina got, the other corner, and
J.C.
Horn. Thank you. So, you know, there were some options there defensively for them to upgrade. But then again, like I said, and then the fact that Micah Parsons has come in and he's been able to play linebacker, he's been able to be a hand in the ground type pass rusher. And you weren't really expecting to get that kind of, where he can play multiple positions, do multiple things for you. You weren't really expecting that with Micah Parsons. You thought maybe he's just going to be, you know, your true blue linebacker that you're expecting to get. And he's been able to do all these other things for him. And so, you know, having Randy Gregory healthy on the field, you know, actually playing for you, that's been great. He had a forced fumble yesterday, as well as two sacks, three tackles. So, you know, a lot of the guys that they weren't getting production from too, they are starting to get production from.
I think you're thinking of Xavier Woods.
Xavier Woods. Yep, exactly. 100%.
Yeah. He was, his contract was up or whatever, so they let him go. But, yeah, I mean, also getting Randy Gregory back, and he looks like he's playing great. He pretty much decapitated Mac Jones off the edge there yesterday.
Yeah.
But Xavier Woods. They got a whole new pretty much linebacking core too, with Jabril Cox, Keanu Neal, all these guys. I want to know what. So the Trevon Diggs, that was quite the incredible sequence when he gets the pick six. It was a deflection too, but he had the nice ball skills of to be able to catch the deflection and take it to the house. And then the very next play, the camera kept going to him. I don't think enough people were talking about the safety. Totally messed him up. Safety blew it big time. Like, Diggs was looking back at him like, Kazee is the safety. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like the camera just kept focusing on Diggs. Like, oh my God, he's a boomer bus player. He's a boomer bus player. Like, the safety, I'm not saying that Diggs would have got an interception or something, but the safety totally screwed up Diggs and was the reason why Diggs at least wasn't able to tackle him, or like he totally messed that play up.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah, no, it was on the safety for sure. Because, I mean, he got shook on the double move, no doubt. Trevon did. But he recovered really well when he was right there. And then I don't know where the safety was running. I mean, he just ran right by Kendrick Bourne. like he was running to the sideline or something. It was the craziest thing. Maybe he just saw the ball wrong or didn't. I don't know. But the way he ran by Kendrick Bourne was just, I didn't know what he saw as far as him being the safety, because he definitely was the one that blew it. Because it probably is a completion, but if he's in better position, they tackle him and stop him right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. The safety totally blew that play there. All right. Enough on that game. What else from the this weekend? We have Aaron Rodgers continuing to own the Bears. As someone that got owned by Roethlisberger, I feel the Bears' pain on having to deal with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he 100% owns them. You know, they come out week one, the Packers, and have a rough go. Everyone's, oh, the Packers, you know, Aaron Rodgers, not really focused on football, doesn't care about football, yada, yada, yada. Then they've gone out and scored at least 25 points, I believe, in each game since then. So I think they're fully back. He owns the Bears. He will always own the Bears. Even whenever he, you know, whatever team he goes to next year, he'll probably still own the Bears then as well. But so that game was, you know, went as expected. Tough week for the sure thing here as far as the Browns and the Skins, or the football team, I guess I should say. Browns are battered right now. They're not the Browns, they're the Black and Blues, because they're beat up. Washington just stinks. So I think I'd rather be in your situation than mine. But the Raiders come out and play well for Bisaccia, which I didn't know which way that was going to go. I knew either they're going to come out and put their dicks on the table and say, look, it doesn't matter who our head coach is, we're going to try and play well. Or it was going to be, we're going to Denver, like, road game. You know, we just went through all this crap with our losing our head coach. They come out laying egg. They came out and did the former of it and just absolutely whooped up on the Broncos. So then the Ravens Chargers game, I was not expecting that either.
Maybe I wasn't expecting like a game that wasn't even close, but I'm not surprised that the Chargers or that the Ravens won.
I thought we were going to see more of a shootout.
Yeah. Look, I just think, the team traveling west to east is a tough one. And the Chargers had the big win against the Browns. I think that was just a hangover spot. They had the comeback. They were without a couple linebackers. I think that's it. No, the Browns are battered. We were without this two starting tackles yesterday. Baker gets hurt again and then decides to come back for some reason. Landry's out, Chubb's out. The defense, I mean, good thing COVID. I think the whole defense is vaccinated, but God, they couldn't catch COVID if they tried. They couldn't cover that. It's just the secondary, there's just breakdowns everywhere. Did you see the roughing the passer call at the end?
I did, yeah.
That call had nothing to do with the outcome of the game, other than that Arizona went down and scored their last touchdown. If the Browns would have got a stop, it would have been 3rd and 16. But the Browns have, like, I think our two teams have the worst third down defenses in the NFL, which is frustrating. But like, I mean, that is a ridiculous. What are we doing? What are they doing?
Yeah. When he who got pushed into him? I forget who it was.
Somebody Malik Jackson got pushed in by the lineman and just put it. It was almost like, hey, my hands are out here, but I'm going to give Kyler a little shove, a shove. And I'm just unbelievable.
Yeah, no, that was tough. I mean, I like that game. That call decided the game either way, but still, it was a little ridiculous.
There were 8 minutes left in the game, and you never know. It's third down. The Browns get a stop or something. They go march down, get a touchdown and a two. They're down 8 points.
Okay.
What? No, I'm not saying they're going to do it, because they had the chances to do that at the start of the second half. They didn't. But I mean, you never know. It's crazy stuff happens in the NFL. They caught a Hail Mary at the end of the first half. You never know what happens.
No doubt.
You never
no
know
doubt.
What happens. So, that's where it's at. And I mean, this is not a good week to have a Thursday game if you're the Browns. I guess the only positive that it's against the Broncos, who look to be a battered bunch, or just a struggling bunch. Who knows there? I was every Patrick Mahomes insane throw is posted on Twitter of like, oh my God, look how amazing this is.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw a single video of his just one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen, when he's going down and just tries to heave it up in the air. And I would say 90% of the population in the United States could have intercepted that pass. It was so bad.
100%. It was an interception that you expect from like Brandon Whedon or like,
okay, you know, the Brandon Whedon flip.
Yeah.
That's what that was. That, I think that was worse than the Whedon flip. Seriously, that's dad and I said. We're like, that's Whedon flip esque. I'm like, Dad, I think that's worse because Whedon was. I mean, they're both bad. I think that might have been worse.
No, that was kind of like one of the first. Like, that's not a throw that you expect him to make or an interception. You know, maybe like a Brock Osweiler does that or something of the sorts. But that was quite possibly. And he actually had another one. He had another one that fell down incomplete right before that one. It was maybe the quarter before that fell down incomplete. So that was the second time he did that. And it was ridiculous. I mean, the football team, they had, I believe, 3 turnovers, couldn't cash him in. It was a nightmare. And then, you know, they finally got things rolling. Tyreek Hill was out for a minute. And so, you know, you try to take advantage of that and hold the offense best you can. But there's just no rhythm or no synchronization to the offense right now. The defense actually, like I said, hasn't been playing bad the last 2 games. Last week they had 5 drives start on the opposing side of the 50, didn't come away with any touchdowns. I think they went like 1 for 5 on even scoring points there. You have 3 turnovers this game, can't cash any of them in. So the defense has been holding up their end of the bargain. Finally, granted, again, they can't get off the field on third down. I know you look at the box score and say, hey, you gave up 500 yards. How's the defense doing their job? Look, I promise you they are, but they can't get off the field. They went 11 of 17 on third down. And then the offense, I wish I could see how many 3-and-outs we had, because it was quite a few. And if you just look at a playing box score and say you gave up 500 yards, obviously defense didn't play well on 31 points. Yeah, I get it. But when you're on the field, let me see if I can find time of possession, because time of possession had to be.
It's 33 to 26.
Shit, so not that big of a discrepancy. But like I said,
almost 34 minutes, because it was 33-53 for the Chiefs.
I watched the entire game. The defense did not play that bad.
The first half, the defense played very well, I thought.
Yeah.
And I watched pretty much until midway through the third quarter. I mean, they were hanging tough. They were not playing bad.
Yeah, and then like
I thought that game was also closer than the final score kind of indicated.
100%. 100%. Because it was. I mean, Washington was leading at halftime. And like I said, they were playing really, really well. And then all hell broke loose. And, you know, you can only hold the Chiefs for so long. You got to be able to strike while the iron's hot, you know, while you're holding good teams. And granted, you could say the Chiefs aren't good. I still think they're very good.
At least the offense is good.
Yes. Yeah. The offense is very good. You know, you can only hold them at bay for so long. And while you're doing that, you have to be able to capitalize, especially on this defense, because their defense is terrible. Defense is so bad. They might be the only defense worse than Washington. And you can't capitalize on that. And then, you know, pretty soon, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to do exactly what he does. And that's what he did.
All right. I've got a solution for the Washington football team.
Okay.
They need a trade for Sam Ellinger.
You know, look. I don't totally disagree, but right now, look, I'm going to ride with Heinicke for just a little bit longer, because he doesn't make a ton of mistakes. Sometimes the decision-making isn't great. It's not ideal, but, you know, sometimes he's a guy that gets, you know, you have to tell him, like, hey, stay within yourself, because sometimes he'll just airmail some dudes, some easy passes, but because he gets a little excited sometimes. But look, I have faith in Heinicke. Let me see another couple more weeks. I forget. I think we have Green Bay this coming week, so it's not going to get any better.
Well, that first place schedule that hurts you.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. And the Cowboys have the third place schedule, so they got their crossover game against the. Are you guys face the NFC East? Excuse me.
We are the NFC East.
Or the AFC East, I mean, or not?
No, we just played the Bills.
Okay, that's right. Okay, yeah. So there. That's right. Their crossover game was the Patriots, and yours, the 17th game, yours was against the Chiefs, or against the
Bills.
Yeah, against the Bills. That's a big discrepancy right there.
Yeah.
But all right, let's go over to college. I didn't really see any mind-boggling coaching decisions this week.
The only one that
I didn't have any that I saw.
Maybe the Mike McCarthy fourth and one.
That's what the field goal.
Yeah.
Oh, you know which one I thought? Nah. Did you watch any of Jags Miami?
Yeah, I watched quite a bit of it, actually.
Okay, what did you think of when Urban decided to go for it on fourth and one when they could have gone up seven?
I liked it.
I thought I did, too. I was like, look, you're 0-5.
Yeah, exactly.
That play call, again, was horrible.
Right, the play again, yeah. We mentioned that.
But I liked it. I liked that call in the moment, too. I couldn't think of anything in college or the NFL that I thought was really egregious this week. I don't know.
So, going back to previous week, I totally forgot, and I meant to mention this on Thursday. I didn't. In the Texans game, they were going to punt. They were like within their own, like they're inside the red zone of, you know, the reverse end zone. So they're on within their own 20, I guess. And they took a delay of game on purpose to back up 5 more yards. And then the punter had like 10 yards of clearance to punt, and he kicked it right off the back of one of his guys' head. Did you see that?
I missed that.
Yeah, David Coley took the delay of game on purpose, backed themselves up 5 more yards. So I want to say they were like on their own 5 to punt, and the punter kicks it right off the back of his own guy's head. That was a bonehead coaching decision I forgot to mention. Yeah.
Okay, one other thing on the Cowboys that I forgot to mention that we were talking about fourth downs. Everything you needed to know about what the Cowboys thought about the Patriots, you knew in that first drive when they went for it on fourth and one at their own 35. They were like, we don't care if we give you the ball here. You're not going to stop us all day. Like, that was pretty much a, we have no respect for you. You're a bad football team, and we're just going to try and convert this and shove it right down your throat all day. And look, it didn't work out. They scored a touchdown. But that showed you how little respect the Cowboys had for the Patriots offense yesterday.
Totally agree. Totally agree. It was like you said, you know, there's kind of like a guy on the mound. Here's my fastball right down the middle. You're not going to hit it, you know,
yes.
type of deal.
Yes, that was it. And I was like, wow, how things have changed that people now are going for it on the Patriots at that. All right, to college, your beloved Iowa Hawkeyes take a fall to Purdue. Purdue is just slayers of number two teams. They have like the most wins or the second most wins against number two ranked teams. They take down Iowa. The Iowa offense is horrible. Again, other than that, Texas to a 17-3 lead, all gas early on, and the take just goes on empty in the third and fourth quarter, and they lose to Oklahoma State. Look, Oklahoma State is a sneaky number 10 team or whatever they're ranked. They are sneaky. They've been underdogs on the road, ranked team all year when you're like, oh, should this be favor, this and that. They're just finding ways to win games. They are a sneaky bunch over there. But other than that, the big news, Coach O leaving, or mutual parting of ways, after it seems like after he got the divorce, he just was more interested in chasing tail than coaching football, and just a total disaster that he did LSU. And look, we both thought Coach O was going to be gone after this year before that. I never really thought he was a good coach. I thought he kind of got lucky. Like, he's like, all right, I'll take a chance on Burrow. And he got Joe Brady in there. And Joe Brady worked the magic with Burrow. And that took off. And I just didn't think he was ever really a good coach. And he caught lightning in a bottle for a year. And that's how he won his national title.
Oh, 100%. 100%. You know, you look at the guys he had, like you said, Joe Burrow, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, all guys that are, you know, doing really, really well in the NFL. And you add that with Joe Brady, who's a guy that comes in to the NFL with Carolina and has things cooking to start off with. I think that's probably going to be their number one target. They're going to see if they can bring Joe Brady back, because you're going to get all the best athletes out of Louisiana. You're going to be able to recruit nationally when you're the LSU head coach. So you could really have your pick of the litter for the most part. Not too shocking there. Going back to your Oklahoma State, they're not the Oklahoma State that you're used to. They're not going to try to score 65 points each game out there. They're playing defense. Their point differential, they're 6-0. Their point differential is a touchdown, 7 points. That's how much they're beating that's their total season point differential right now, which is, wild to be 6-0. And that's what it is. But it's shaking out to be kind of a little crazy right now as far as the top four. I don't think when it comes to the what do they call the old Oklahoma OSU rivalry now?
Bedlam.
Bedlam, yeah. When it comes to that, you know, I think Oklahoma State has every shot that they, you know, every chance in the world to win that game and possibly win the Big 12. So if you see them up in the top four, who knows? How about Mississippi State? You really thought they're going to beat Bama?
I didn't think anybody think they were going to beat Bama.
You 100% said I think Mississippi State beats Bama.
No, I didn't. I said I thought they'd cover. I said they have. Alabama's been bad on the road.
Buddy, I don't know.
I said
about
Bama's
that.
Been bad on the. I didn't say they could beat them.
I think you did. I might have to go back in.
If I said I think they could beat them, the small percentage. I wasn't like a big confidence in that.
I don't know about that. You said it with some. With some gusto.
Well, I will say this. Mississippi State, the Alabama defense, I'm still not sold on the Alabama defense. I know they only gave up 9 points to Mississippi State. You got to watch the game. They were giving up in the first half chunks and chunks of yards. Like they were, the defense was getting kind of shredded. Just some couple of wounded ducks there. But no, I didn't think they were going to win. I thought they should have covered, and they had a pick six, and that killed them in the first half. They're only down 21-6 at half, and without the pick six, hey, they're only down 14-6. But no, and then the second half they just got worn down.
I'm gonna have to go back and get the receipts on that one.
Okay, but the Alabama.
I remember you saying Alabama's going to lose again, and I'm going to call it. They lose.
No, I said Auburn. I said Auburn.
You said they might lose Auburn too, but you also said
no. I did. They weren't going to lose back to back weeks. They weren't losing back to back weeks. They're going to. Alabama is going to lose again. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced Alabama is going to lose again. I know it's hard to say that.
SEC championship game,
huh?
The SEC championship game. That's the only other time.
Auburn's turned a corner. Ever since that LSU win, Bo Nix has turned a corner. I don't think Arkansas is very good, but they going on the road to beat Arkansas by 15. That's a nice win and dominating that game. I'm telling you, weird things happen in the Iron Bowl when it's played at Auburn. Yeah. I'm just telling you, weird things happen.
It does.
So, look, I know it's hard after a 40-point Alabama win when you're like, oh, Alabama's going to lose again. I watched the game. I'm not sold on their defense still. I'm not sold on the Alabama defense. But how about the late spread drama in Kentucky and Georgia?
Yeah, no, that was, you know, cause that was one of the games that we had circled to kind of keep an eye on. I had the over in that game. So I was just rooting for points, points, points.
You missed it, didn't you?
And we did miss it by, I think, a point and a half.
Yeah.
But some late spread implications there. Not the only game that happened in, but Georgia's an absolute wagon right now, man. There's just nothing you can do. I mean, Will Levis looks like he's, you know, I think he's going to be all right. I think he's done after this year, but Georgia, man, they got things rolling. That's no doubt. That defense is good. That's no joke. And the offense is just good enough. You know, they're not the usual Georgia offense where you're just going to run the ball. They can throw it around a little bit too, but they really rely on that defense heavy.
For sure. Okay, going back to Coach O, you said, main target you think is going to be Joe Brady. I think personally he's just wants to stay in the NFL. I don't think he really wants to do the recruiting thing.
Yeah.
But the LSU AD, his last name Woodward. I can't remember his first name. He is like BFFs with Jimbo, and he brought Jimbo because when they started at LSU together, or they were starting there when Jimbo was at LSU. And then he was the AD at A&M that brought Jimbo in. And in the contract that he wrote for Jimbo at A&M was that if he gets fired, he gets the full buyout. But if he leaves to go to another school, it doesn't cost anything. So you could already see where the connecting of the dots is going to be. And the rumors are already swirling that Jimbo, that Woodward, his number one target is to get Jimbo to come back to LSU.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that too. I don't think Jimbo leaves A&M. I think the way he kind of is, or at least seems, because obviously I don't know him personally, is if he leaves A&M early, then it's going to be looked at as a failure. And I don't think his ego or his conscience could really take going somewhere, you know, a step. I think A&M's a step up from FSU, you know, definitely playing the SEC West. and playing the schedule they do, I think it's a step up from Florida State playing in the ACC. You know, I think he has a little unfinished business at A&M. I think he's going to stick around for a little bit longer. I don't think he runs for Baton Rouge just yet.
But is LSU a step up from A&M?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, then why would you wait? Not why would you wait?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the thing. Why, if you want to go, just because he has unfinished business, I don't honestly don't really think Jimbo cares about the unfinished business at A&M. I really just think he went to A&M because they paid him he was getting $75 million if he got fired.
Yeah.
And he could grow to like A&M there, but he started his coaching career at LSU, and I think it's been known that he wants to coach at LSU. I mean, me personally, I would think it's hilarious if he goes to LSU, and it would add more spice to the LSU A&M games, which already have some spice going back from the 27 the 7 overtime game. I mean, I think that, or they go Dave Aranda, who is the defensive coordinator and who's at Baylor, and he's turned around, done a nice job at Baylor. But Jimbo in the SEC, or in LSU, I think that's if you're a storyline guy, I think that's the one you want.
Who are Alabama's assistants right now?
The offensive coordinator is Bill O'Brien.
Oof, keep your eye on that guy.
Go look at the Alabama coaching staff.
I'm actually doing that right now.
It is. They got Doug Marrone on the offensive line, and the offensive line is under fire. Bill O'Brien's the OC, I'm pretty sure. The defensive coordinator, I'm not sure. I think it's a younger guy. Defensive.
Pete Golding.
Pete Golding. No idea who he is. They've got some retread NFL dudes there, that's for sure. Especially in Bill O'Brien and Doug Marrone.
Look, I'm Bill O'Brien. I'm serious. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he finds his way in Baton Rouge. Look, he did a great job at Penn State. Say what you will about his time at Houston. You know, being the GM and the head coach wasn't really his forte. But I wouldn't be totally shocked. He's a good offensive mind. He can dial up and drop some good stuff offensively. And like I said, the job he did in his, what was it, 1 or 2 years at Penn State, turning that program around with all the sanctions and all the stuff they were dealing with the Joe Pa and Jerry Sandusky stuff. I wouldn't be totally shocked if he's the guy that they make the call to.
I'd be stunned if they went to Bill O'Brien. I'd be floored. Look, Bill O'Brien, when he was just a coach instead of the GM, it wasn't bad, as you said.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Like Hackenberg, he had Hackenberg looking great. The Texans offense was pretty good, but then when he started, went for the power, and he went to trash.
Yeah, 100%. I bet you we see Bill O'Brien coaching, whether it's USC, LSU, somewhere. We're going to see him coaching here in the next, probably next year, back at the head coaching spot.
You think so?
I think so. It's the Nick Saban rehab program.
Yeah, no, it is true.
I mean, it is Lane true. Kiffin did it. Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, but Lane was still young, and everybody, I don't think everybody was, thought Lane would coach again. I think people thought that.
Did you think Sark would?
Probably not.
And a big time program. Like, I mean, say what you will. But I know. Texas is a big time program.
No, it is. It is. I don't think Bill O'Brien's a college head. I guess he did it. I think he just wants to get back to the NFL. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think the best way you do that, hey, do well in college for 2 or 3 years, and then you,
you know,
get your name on the list.
Yeah, no, that is for that's for sure. That is for sure. There was something I was gonna say that I cannot, I can't remember. I don't know. Maybe it was about Texas, but there's no point to even say anything about Texas. I think I just need one more loss, and under 8 is looking mighty, mighty fine. All right. Let's get over to the, do you have anything else in college or not? It was a pretty light, light weekend.
Yeah, no, nothing.
Looks like another light weekend out there. Really. I don't know what else is, what else is really on the slate. You had a pick for the game tomorrow night.
No, I don't even know what's on the schedule tomorrow night.
Coastal at App State.
Oh, Coastal. What's the line?
3. On the road at App State.
I was going to say, is it at App State? That has to be.
Yeah, And App State just played last Tuesday and got beat on the road at Lafayette.
Coastal and the over.
All right. I think the over 60.
Yeah, I'm looking at 59.5 right now.
How did your picks go last week? I went 4-6 in college. Another 4-1 NFL week, 20-10 in the NFL right now.
Yeah, you're killing the NFL.
Yeah.
I went 2-2 in the NFL. Kind of reverse jinxed myself because, you know, I have them all tracked in my phone. Went and marked the Dallas New England game as a loss when New England scored to go ahead. And I was like, all right, that's a loss. Obviously, Dallas comes in and covers. So I went 2-2 there. I got the Bills tonight. In college, I went 5-3. I lost every total that I had. Clemson, Syracuse, San Diego State, San Jose State, and the Georgia, Kentucky. All very close, I think, except for that Clemson, Syracuse game. The other two, very, very close. 5-3 on the weekend, 47-23 on the season.
Did you say the San Jose State over?
Yes.
That missed and it went to double overtime.
Yeah.
That's tough if you have an over and it misses. And that, well, the total, overtime, I think, was like, what, 48 or something?
41.
41, and it goes to double overtime and it still misses.
Yep.
That's a hate to see it. Oh, that's a tough one there. All right, a little NBA here. If you go back to the beginning of October of 2020, you know, in that time frame, we will have played three NBA seasons. There all have been three NBA seasons played in that time frame from that and from October 1st, 2020 until we tip off tomorrow night, October 19th, 2021. Three NBA seasons will have played in technically a calendar year.
That's wild. That is wild.
Yes. Yes, because the finals ended up in October. I think it ended like October 8th or something. And then you had all last season that started on Christmas Day, I think. And you finished it up 70 games, a little short. And then now we're right back on the normal schedule. That is a lot. That is a lot. The Bucks and the Lakers, the shortest time ever as NBA champions. It's a quick turnaround out there.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the Bucks did win it last year, didn't they?
Who did they beat?
You know, slips my mind. I don't remember. Okay. But,
but we get underway.
Basketball.
Huh?
Tough couple months for Phoenix basketball.
Yeah.
Suns go down. Mercury go down. It's tough.
Did they lose to the Sky?
They did lose to the Sky last night. So
tough. Hey, at least they made it. Yeah. All right. So the season. There are some interesting. Obviously, I think the biggest storyline, obviously, is probably going to be Kyrie, what he does. But I don't think Kyrie's really going to change. Kyrie isn't going to get vaccinated, and the Nets have pretty much said you aren't playing unless you're fully vaccinated and you can play home games. So he's not going to play, and that's gonna be in the back of the Nets' mind. They're still obviously great. I do wonder about Durant. I think they're going to need to do the whole load management or give him some days off because he carried them in the playoffs coming off an Achilles. He looked great there. The Lakers, what are they going to be like with Westbrook and that whole deal with LeBron and Anthony Davis? And how LeBron looks after he got hurt in the playoffs last year, played with an injury. The West is deep again. I think there's a lot of how Phoenix bounces back after the finals. I think there's a lot of storylines. Luka and the Mavs. I think Porzingis is going to come out to a hot start. I think he's going to have a great season there. And if you want it to the Mavs, I think this Jason Kidd thing is just going to be a beautiful disaster to watch on the outside. Now they'll probably get off to a nice start, but I think there's come January, February, the dog days, March, there's going to be some drama with Jason Kidd as the head coach.
I agree about your Porzingis take. Now it's just how long are they going to, be able to have him, you know, because it's kind of inevitable. He's probably going to be injured at some point. But I agree. I think just from what we've seen in the preseason, the small sample size, him and Luka have been playing really well together. But I agree. I think there are going to be some antics that we've seen with Jason Kidd in the past. And it'll just be interesting to see kind of how he and Luka kind of gel and mold together. And, you know, by all accounts, from what I've heard from previous players under Jason Kidd, is that he's very much a player's coach. And I think that's what Luka wanted. And I think we'll see how, you know, loosening the reins a little bit on him, how it's going to benefit him and the team.
Yeah, but player's coach. But I mean, you read some of the stuff he did in Milwaukee. I know that was his last head coaching job, and he could learn from that, learn from the Lakers under Frank Vogel. But like running 3-hour practices on Thanksgiving and holidays and like stuff like that, he can't run the way he did in Milwaukee, like he did with the Mavs. They're not going to like him.
And 100%. But I think like, Milwaukee was his first coaching job. I think he's learned probably a lot quite from that.
Well, no, it was the Nets. They traded him to Milwaukee. The new owners in Milwaukee are like, we want Jason Kidd to be the coach. So they traded for him from the Nets and then got him in Milwaukee, and it went down in flames.
Yeah, maybe, you know, then you hope that he's learned a little bit since then and isn't going to try to run this as like a, you know, college team or a high school team and let the guys be professionals.
I don't know. I'm just going based on what he did in previous stops. And you would have to hope that he would change. But that's if there's one thing holding the Mavs back, I would have to say it would be the head coach or the whatever is around the head coaching position. What other than Phoenix, what are you looking at? What are we thinking for the NBA?
I mean, you definitely got to, you know, see what the Lakers are going to do with all their cast of characters they got going on there. The Clippers kind of keep spinning their wheels.
And Kawhi's out for who knows how long. Like, that's correct. They're going to be in it. It's a Paul George show. That's an interesting.
The Ben Simmons saga out in Philly.
Yeah.
I'm really not too keen on a lot of these rookies coming in. So, you know, your Cade Cunningham, we'll see what he gets off, you know, how he gets off to a start. Yeah, Jaleel Green down in Houston, kind of taking over the show down there, you know, in the, I guess John Wall's still there. I was going to say the post-John Wall era, but I guess it is still technically John Wall era, but he's kind of going to be the guy there. So there's a lot of stuff you're keeping your eye on. Golden State, obviously, can they bounce back? I think they said they're getting Clay back around Christmas, I believe.
That still seems pretty late.
Yeah, that's what I thought. The
like,
same thing.
It happened in like, I know they didn't start till last year, but like, and look, you want to make sure that he is all good to go and everything 100%. Like that. But like, it seems like that is a long time out there. All right, I'm looking at some win totals. You want me to throw some out there for you?
Let's do it.
All right, these are just that I'm looking at. All right, Charlotte, their win total is 38.5. What do you think about them? And
are they playing 82 this year?
They are playing 82.
I say over.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think I would tend to go over on that. But 39 wins for a young team hoping to make the next step.
Right. See, I bet you they're like right around it. Like 40 and 42, 41 and 41. They're right around it.
The Bulls. What do you make about the Bulls? I think the Bulls are going to be an exciting team. I've been Alonzo started shooting again. They got Vucevic. They might not be able to defend a lick. Their win total is 42.5. Minus 160, though. Under. Okay, plus 120 on that. Now, this is one. I will say this. The Cavs win total is 26.5 this year. If they don't go over that, I mean, I don't know what to make. I like Garland. I hope Mobley's good. Everyone talks about he's this unicorn, blah, 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 whatever. He's a very tall. I can confirm that from seeing him at the airport when I was in Cleveland. But like 26.5, I think the Cavs should go over on that. I know it's a homer, but like, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That seems like it's almost so low they're going to go under.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. 100% agree.
But the Mavericks is 48.5.
I say over. I bet you they win 50 games.
I think they'll be a good regular season team. There, the Warriors is also 48.5. I think I would tend to go, I might go under on that.
48.5?
Yeah. The Clippers is 42.5.
Oh,
so right at 500 there.
Yeah, I think they go over that.
The Lakers are at 51. I think the Bucks have the highest. The Bucks and the Nets have the highest one. The Nets have the highest one at 56, and the Bucks have the next highest at 54. Oh my God. The Spurs. What do you think their total is?
29.
Ooh, 28 and a half. So yeah. That is low. All right. And then the Suns. Did you see theirs? You know what
I have? No, I wasn't able to pull it up. They are 50. Yes. Oh, 50? Oh,
51 and a half.
Wow. Wow. That's a little surprising. I'll take it.
Yeah, but that also seems like, look, there's the teams that there are the teams that show effort in the regular season.
Yeah.
And I think this year the Suns, I mean, Devin Booker said it after they lost, we got to show up on the February nights in Cleveland and Detroit. Like that's where the effort is shown.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to just beat teams just based on effort. You can bet where they finish in the conference positioning, and theirs is even money at over 3.5. So be a top three seed again is even money. You know, should be a good season as things get underway.
Yeah.
All right. One last thing before we wrap up. Did you happen to see who won the golf tournament yesterday?
No, I did not.
It was one Rory McIlroy.
Oh, well, nobody must have been playing in it then.
What? Well, he won the CJ Cup, which
the CJ Cup? That sounds made up.
The CJ Cup, which is a Korean-based company, it's supposed to be played in Korea, but it was played in Las Vegas for the second straight year.
Oh, you know what? I did know that.
The Summit Club. 24 of the top 28 players in the world were there. And he won. He said he's was trying to be somebody else the past year. I think that was Bryson chasing the distance. And I just need to be myself because I'm good enough. And he won. He staved off a final round 10 under par from Colin Morikawa, who's a member out there. And also, you know who got in on a sponsor's invite? They gave him a nice little thing. Ricky Fowler back in the leaderboard. Got a nice little third place finish for old Ricky Fowler.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm looking at scores here. This does not seem like a very difficult course.
No. It was a desert. Not a lot of wind. They hit it so far out there. It was, what did he shoot? He was 25 under. Yeah.
Congrats, Rory. You won a mini golf tournament.
Oh, come on. he won. That is his 20th win on the PGA Tour. And let me,
I'm looking at all the names here. They were in Vegas the last 2 weeks, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was just a 2 week vacation for a lot of these guys.
There's a lot of names though in the event,
no,
though.
No, that's like, what I mean. Yeah, yeah. But I think that's why they were all there. You know, you got, like you said, Morikawa, Fowler, Adam Scott. I'm looking at
Spieth and JT played.
Spieth and JT, Brooks played, Sergio, Louis, Tommy Fleetwood, Scotty Scheffler. Yeah, I mean, Finau, Dustin Johnson, they were all there.
Well, then you want to know this about the tour. Well, they also didn't, a bunch of them didn't play last week, but some of them did. But now they got to go to Japan and play this week in Japan in the Zozo, which is just crazy that they're still playing in Japan this year. I'm surprised they're saying they're letting them out there with COVID and everything, but they're playing in a limited field event. And they're now Rory. He gets the 20 wins. Only like there's more guys that have won 20 times. 35 guys have won 20 times on tour, but he's got 20 wins in four majors, which puts him in pretty illustrious company out there. But good to see the Roars back in the winner's circle.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. That will be it for us today. We'll be back later in the week with some picks. As always, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.